Sério. We left off last week. We're trying to get a little bit of an introduction as to when the malacha of malabin kibbutz applies. So we mentioned the Gemara Maseches Vachav that Tzadik Daled tells us that it's not even necessary to exert too much pressure in order to violate malabin min haTorah. She also says kibbutz. So you just simply take a beged and you apply some water to the beged and hocus pocus. That's a malacha derais of kibbutz. So the Rishonim point out that there are clearly exceptions to this rule. Some of the riots we began to discuss at the end of the show yesterday, the Gemara in Yuma talks about walking through a puddle of water to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Kippur. Obviously, your clothing are going to get wet in the process. The Gemara in the second parak Maseches Beitza discusses the possibility of a woman going to the mikvah with her clothing on Yom Tif. Normally, you're not allowed to do Tvilas Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tif. And one of the reasons is, it's an Issa Midirabana because it's Mechsek Misaket. It looks like you're fixing the broken Kli. The Kli is to be Tomei, the Beged is to be Tomei, and now you're toiling it, so that's a problem. So the Gemara says that Gezeir was never made on a person. You know, it makes a lot of sense also. The person was Tomei, and now you're fixing the person. So why don't you say it's Mechsek Misaket? So the Gemara says, no, by a person, that's what's called Nirikameker. It looks like the person is simply just cooling himself off, just chilling himself, just dipping in a little bit, doesn't give off that impression. The whole thing is not true. Minatara, the whole thing is not a problem. Tashas, the reason is because it's not a physical tikkun, it's only halachic tikkun. Hopefully we'll talk about that down. We'll get to Bach Patish sometime in April. But midirabanan, it's a problem, but they lifted that isidirabanan by tefilas adam. So the Gemara's whole discussion, what if a person goes to the mikvah, and they're going to play a kunz. They're going to have the clothing on, so they'll become tar, and the clothing will become tar. So the Gemara says, maybe that's okay. Maybe it doesn't look so bad. So the Rishonim point out that, isn't that a big problem of a chatzitza? A person going to the mikvah with the clothing on? No, the answer is the clothing is very, very loose. The water gets in. That's not a problem. So Taisus says, what do you mean? What happened to the yisur of Shriyas Zokibuso? You're making your clothing wet. So what happened to that problem? That's a deraisitic problem. So Tosis collects a few of these Gemaras that indicate that Shriyas Zokibuso is not the end all. There must be exceptions to the shul. The question is, what is the exception? So Tosis quotes one possibility that maybe Shriyas Zokibuso only applies when the garment is actually dirty. When there's a real stain on the garment, so you're not allowed to put a dirty garment into water. If a clean garment is just getting wetter, maybe getting a little fresher, maybe a little shinier, that's not the fit to be kibbutz b'chlal. So hacham ayaskinan, the clothing is clean. That's the reason why the Gemara ignores Shriyas Zokibuso in these sugyas. And then Taisus quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the age of Shlomo, that maybe li'olam, if it's a clean beged, that could also be called kibbutz. You're washing it, you're making it more shiny, more fresh looking, maybe that would be kibbutz deraisa. The reason why it's permissible in these circumstances is because this is what's called derech lichloch. That by walking into this puddle of water, the water no doubt is dirty. And therefore your clothing are going to end up dirtier than they were when you began. Or when the woman goes to the mikvah, she's going to a filthy body of water, it's a filthy, dirty lake. So her stunning Shabbos Yom Tov dress is going to get dirtier than it was beforehand. That's the antithesis of kibbutz. That's the antithesis of libud. That's called derech lichloch. Now, that probably does not mean, and probably has no connection whatsoever to malach she'etzich l'gufa. We spoke a little bit about that in the last two shiurim. Sometimes when I do a malach, I do the ma'isa malacha, albeit for a different tachlis, for a different tzarah, for a different purpose that was practiced in the Mishkan, that's called malach she'etzich l'gufa, and that's mechalek satanah, mechalek z'nirishem ha'paskin. Here, the tzuras ha'malach is different. It's not the reason why getting clothing dirty in water is not called kibbutz. It's not because it's a maisa malach of kibbutz, or it's a different machshava, it's a different part of the gamri. The very essence of the malach is different. The very essence of my maisa is different. Kibbutz, by definition, means a maisa of cleansing. This is a maisa of dirtying. And therefore, yes, it's clothing, and yes, it's water, but since the net result is different, is not only different, it's the antithesis of what the malach is, that does never shame kibbutz on. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. There are some Rishonim who say that the Kasha is better than the Teretz. The Rebbe Lozmi Mitz, who's Taka Tam and Rebbe Tam, says that no, he's not so bothered with the Kashas. The Gemara says explicitly, you can walk into the mikvah, walk to the puddle. Hacham Ma'iskinan, the person is dressed in leather. So he's leather, leather jacket. It's cool leather clothing. Leather, the Gemara says in Zevachim, Tzadidalin, you don't say Shreel's the Kibbutz on leather. Leather, it's only called Kibbutz if you masachsech, if you mamish rub it, if you scrub it, if you, you apply elbow grease to it. But you just put it into water, that's not called kibbutz. So no one's going to lose any sleep, says Rav Lozmi Mitz, from those two gemaras. So the Rishonim now tackle a shayla, a very real shayla, Tosfos addresses, about using towels on Shabbos to dry your hands after Tilas Yadayim. In the good old days when you have this, you know, those still towel rolls, I don't remember those days. Okay, the old days, that's so long ago, but everyone used the same towel, and the yeshivas, you know, was fresh at 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 7 o'clock at night, we know what it looked like. But or if you're a little bit of a more controlled environment with your family, and you still use towels to dry, just dime towels, how could you dry your hands on a towel? You're wetting the towel. If I would take the towel, put the towel into the washing machine, it would be in the Seder Aisa. It's not a bit, it doesn't have to be a begging, it's material like a begging. What's the difference? So the Rishonim take this question with the utmost seriousness. How can you dry your hands on a towel? So the first day in Taisus says you can as long as the towel's clean, because you don't say Shiras to Gibuso on clean items. Rabbeinu Tam says you can. You know why? Because the towel's getting dirtier rather than getting cleaner, and therefore it's permissible. But according to the Machmirim, according to those Rishonim who don't accept either one of these views, we have to use leather towels. So what's the head to use a towel? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rabbi Lozmi Mitz in Eitzah. Rabbi Lozmi Mitz says that it's a nirulai, he's the biggest machmer in the shayla of Shiras HaKibbutz, he says a nirulai that, what does the word shriya mean? Shriya means like to soak. Soaking conjures up the image of a significant amount of water. If you soak something into water, if you pour water, a lot of water into something, that's called Shiras HaKibbutz. Got a little droplets of water here and there, get a little moist on something, that's not even the image, that's not even the picture of Shiras HaKibbutz B'chlal. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that when you're drying your hands, rather than rely on all these coolers, what the best thing to do is to make sure there's not all that much water left on your hands. How do you do that? Start shaking your hands off first. So when you wash your hands in Shabbos and Yom Tov, after you finish Tilas Yadayim, before you start drying, shake your hand, get all the excess water off. Your hands are still a little bit wet. That minuscule amount of water, there's no Shiras HaKibbutz on that. That's the Eitzah that some of the Rishonim, Rav Lozmi Mitz, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Halacha. So again, Me'ika Mikra Din, we paskin, probably Derech Lichluch is the real head, probably like Rabbeinu Tam. So we're not Me'ika Din words. If you see a guy washing his hands, and his hands are soaking wet and drying his hands on a towel, I wouldn't scream Chilul Shabbos. He's relying on the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. So we probably do follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam. But as the Yesus says, a Chumra L'chad Chila, the more correct thing to do is, when you wash your hands on Shabbos, you should try to shake off whatever excess water you can. You know, there is no need to follow the minhag of shaking off the water in the face of the guy standing behind you while he's trying to wash. So Midas Tumas are also important, even if you want to be machal from Elizabeth Mitz, try to shake off your hands, preferably into the sink itself.
Is there also talking about paper towels?
No, so paper towels, pashas, there's no kibbutz b'chlal. Whether or not there's any problem with schita on paper towels, that's a loaded question we'll get to a little bit later. But in terms of a liban itself, that's not, presumably that's not going to be a problem. Do we really paskin like that first opinion in Tosfos? The Shriyoso Kibuso doesn't apply to clean clothing? So that's a little bit less clear. That's, if you look in the Ramah, that's a little bit less clear whether we paskin like that. So the Mishnah Berura recommends that you really, really shouldn't be making on that shayla. I remember someone asked me a fascinating shayla. It was a combination of the first kula and the Rebbeinu Tam kula. They asked me once that on Shabbos their baby threw up on this whole bib. And the bib was basically a plastic bib. So they wanted to just take the bib and throw it into the bathtub or throw it into the sink or something, just so the stuff shouldn't kick up on it. Otherwise, you have to throw the whole thing out. Just to basically clean off the little bits of it. They weren't going to do any sichsuch, they weren't going to rub or anything, so it's plastic. So plastic is probably no worse than leather. It may even be better than leather. It's a further shot on the plastic, but the plastic may even be better than leather. But worse than leather, it's zichah not going to be. So there's no shiras to kibbutz on the plastic. So just to take the plastic bib and to throw it into the water, so I didn't think that per se was a problem. The problem was that there were threads on the bib. There were cloth threads, cotton threads, polyester threads, I don't know, whatever they were. There were there were threads that could potentially be subject to the sugya or shuriyasu zeo kibuso. So the question is, could they put the bib in with the thread? So the way it was, this is not one of these shahs you want to actually sit and analyze, but Tyree, what are you doing? You had to analyze even this. So which part of the bib was dirty? So it happened to be that the kid aimed properly, and the thread part taka was clean. But the problem is, we want to stick the whole bib in to the sink of water. So, well, I'm not worried about Shriyasa Kibuso and the dirty part of the bib, because that's plastic. But I am worried potentially Shriyasa Kibuso on the clean strings. So according to one day in Taisis, it's okay. According to the other day in Taisis, that you say Shriyasa Kibuso even on clean things, that would be a problem. So I thought, nah, this is butl cholodeus. Why? Because even Rebbeinu Tam for sure would be mahta this. Why? Those beautiful, clean, pristine threads that are now clean, the minute you put them into a sink or a bathtub full of a bib with all the guk on it, they themselves are going to get dirty. So ma'aduch, Rabbi Natam says, when you dry your hands, that's chodech lich, because the towel's getting a masho. You don't even see the difference between one time and the next time. Kavachem, when you throw the clean threads into the sink of filthy water, it's going to become ein chodech lich, and therefore I thought, yesh lehokal, except according to Rabbi Lezbi Mitz. Okay, so okay, except according to Rabbi Lezbi Mikra, then we pass it, like either the first dantites or the second dantites, or like Rabbi Natam. So I thought that in this case, it was takam mutter. Fine. So up until now, we've been talking about doing an act of kibbutz involving a liquid, usually water. What is lavdafka? Could be any other clean or any kind of liquid. Anything that serves as a cleansing agent will be a problem deraisa of kibbutz. Is it possible to talk about kibbutz in the absence of any liquid whatsoever? Is it shayach? Is the malachas kibbutz, the malacha malabein, was that malacha nimsura to us only when there's a liquid that's cleaning? What if I have a dirty garment and I figure out a way to clean that garment without applying any liquid whatsoever? Can that also potentially be libur or not? So this is a very, very tricky Gemara. It's a Gemara that appears in the end of Masech Shabbos. The Gemara talks about menar talisoi. A person shakes off their garment, shakes off their talis. So Gemara says, Lash menar taliso is chayiv. Gemara says, not always, it depends. If it's a black talis, then it's a problem because then it's a nikar that Imam is doing an act of libur on it. If it's not a black talis, then maybe it's okay. And the Gemara has different nuances as to when menar taliso is chayav on his potter, but the Gemara does have the suya called menar taliso. So the question is, what's meant this? What is menar taliso? What do the words mean? There's a major machlekes Rashi and Taisus just teaching the words menar taliso. So Rashi writes, menar taliso means menar avak shalaha. That a person shakes off the garment, shakes off the talus from the dust that has accumulated. So it's very dusty. You can see it. Your jacket just fell on the floor, and you got a lot of dust all over it. So you just want to shake it up, bang it or something, or take a brush, shake off the brush away the dust. Rashi says that's potentially chayev. Now, not always, says Rashi. Rashi agrees, but the Gemara says only if it's dark and only if it really looks, but whatever, only if you mock put on. Again, there are a whole array of different conditions that are necessary, but b'ikaron, menar talis ben avak shalach could be a problem according to Rashi. And Taisa says, lo hiyot v'ma, it's not the pshat. Taisa goes to Rebbeinu Hanano, menar talisa means menatal shalach. That means there's a little bit of moisture, a little bit of dew on it. It's not drenched in the washing machine, but a little bit of something on it. So that could be a problem. But just stop, menar talis ben avak. Taisa seems to say, that's not a malacha b'chlal. That's not kibbutz, that's something else. That's not shayach to the malacha of kibbutz. So Rashi does present the possibility of having a kibbutz deraisa, sometimes, not always, but there's potential problem of kibbutz deraisa even without any liquid whatsoever. Now, truth to be told, there is a steer in Rashi's that Rabbi Kivay already on the spot points out that Rashi in another place with Sechah Shabbos seems to deny that principle. But Rashi does say it, at least in one place clearly, that there is a problem in our talis. How do we pask in halacha? So the Ramah quotes this Rashi, quotes this Yeshom. The Ramah says, it's kedai, why don't you try to be macher for this? And therefore, one should refrain from dusting off garments on Shabbos, particularly dark garments, which is usually why when people do this, particularly things that people are makbid on, which is usually why you're doing it in the first place. So a very, very common shot, like a guy drops his hat on the floor or something, a guy drops his jacket on the floor or something. So one's initial reaction would be, oh, just either pull out a brush, or you're not going to pull a brush, it's your hand, just got to shake it off. That's a problem. According to Rashi, again, according to other Rishonim, it's at the Gomor, but according to Rashi, that could be a potential shayla, even a potential shayla, shayla, suffix of shayla, deraisa, of benar talisa, of an avak shalaha. That's what Rashi learns, and the Rama says, one should try to follow the Shita. So I'll tell you a story. Stories are good because half the time you remember the story, there's a good chance that you'll remember the halacha that goes along with it. So I always have a tremendous hakaras hatov to Rashi for the shita, because I feel that this Rashi is responsible for my getting married. If I wonder, what? Rashi? Rashi wasn't the shachan before Y.U. connects. Rashi connects. I'll tell you what happened. Ma'aseh shekha chaya. So this goes back already well more than closer to 35 years already. The story, as most of my good stories of my youth, began in Marshakol. So one of my 15 summers that was spent in Marshakol. So I used to learn with a young man. They still have the 7:30 to 8:30 high school slot learning. Who has Marshakol, guys? No one?
It's not 7:30 anymore.
What is it now? Look, they changed the schedule.
Yeah.
What happened? When's dinner? Dinner's not 6:30 anymore?
It's 6:30.
What? Still 6:30. Okay, that's been around since, yeah. Some things don't change. Russia called tends not to change much. Okay, they're big believers in Chazak HaMekar. So, except what Shabbos Seder that keeps on getting later and later every year. So, they're pushing the limit till Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken about Havzalov. They still have that hour and a half Seder of the 90 minutes? It's only an hour? Okay, anyway, back to Sargas. A little bit sorry. So, Ma'aseh Shekha Chaya. So I used to learn with a young man. His name was Avram Willig. Rabbi Willig's one of his kids. And a very fine, established Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. But he was my high school chavrusa for about 10 years or so. So he stayed in high school for a long time. So he was my younger chavrusa for many, 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 many years, both before and after high school days. And we used to learn almost every night. And we would also learn Shabbos afternoon for an hour. And in those days, Avram was a young, you know, very exciting, Labor Day young man. And sometimes, like in the middle of something, if he like made a mistake or something in reading, or he would we had a joke going. He would take his yarmulke and throw the yarmulke down on the floor. I mean, he was 8 years old. He'd throw it down. Oh, come on! Ah. And anyone remember what the floor looks like in Marshakol? It was very, very, very dusty. So 6 days a week, he would throw the yarmulke down and he would dust it off. Shabbos, we always had the joke that when he threw it onto the floor and it was dusty, I said to him, you can't dust it off. And he always, why not? He said, because Rashi said so. And he would always ask me, do we pass the glass? I said, the Ramah says we pass the Mabacha for Rashi. So this was an ongoing joke for about 10 years that you can't dust off the yarmulke. Now, roll the clock forward about another X amount of years. And Avram was learning in yeshiva at the time. He was in Kebiavna, and he became friends with a young man from California, who happened to later become my brother-in-law, my wife's younger brother. And they were spending Shabbos together. And my wife at the time happened to be in Eretz Yisrael, also she wasn't yet my wife. And she was with the two of them. She was with her brother and Avram, the three of them by my son's house, I forgot where it was, in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody dropped something on the floor, and the article of clothing got dusty, and Avram announced, you can't dust it off, you can't shake it off. Why? Because Menar Talisai. So the person asked, what? What does it say there? He said, it's a Ferish Rashi, a set of Shabbos. Do we pass like that? He said, it's a Ramah. It says in Shabbos, yeah, you have to be chashish for that. So then they asked him the next question. They said, who told you that? How do you know that, Rashi? So he said, how do you know Rashi? He said, Mechavrusa for 10 years was Tzvi Savlovsky. So the young lady who was sitting at the table, ears perked up because someone had just suggested my name to her not that long ago. And so she wanted to hear a little bit more. So our very first interaction, we hadn't even met each other, was already about a Chumra Nucha Shabbos. It was the first, I can't say the last of Chumra Nucha Shabbos. All's well that ends well. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So we have kibbutz on a level of deraisa, potentially with liquids. We have kibbutz, possibly at a level of deraisa, even without liquids. Then the Gemara talks about another possibility, and that's, I'm not even applying a liquid to the garment. The garment's already wet. I'm being seichet the garment. I'm squeezing out the garment. So the Gemara talks about the potential problems involved in schitas begadim on Shabbos. Now, schitas begadim on Shabbos is a very, very tricky thing, because Rabbeinu Tam, those who remember the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, is a very famous text in Ksubos Davav, the quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, that Schitas Begadim, if you look carefully in the Gemara, seems to actually fall under two potentially different malachas. Sometimes the Gemara seems to be talking about Libun, about a potential malach of washing. Why is Schita part of washing? Because that's the Rambam writes, it's Mitzarchei Kibusu. That part of the, you ever wash clothing by hand, so you soak it, and what are you doing? Just, you know, watch your mother just squeeze out the wring out the stuff. So the Rambam writes, that's what the Rebbe Natam writes in Masechet Subas, that's part of kibbutz. That's mitzvah kibbutz. But then Rebbe Natam highlights that in a few places, the Gemara seems to be talking a different language about tzchitas begadim. It may fall under the category of a different malach legamri called malachas dosh. Dosh means to thresh. Thresh is when you exert pressure on something to separate, to extract something, what's inside from what's outside. So when you thresh the grain, or when the Gemara says the Ed Masechet Shabbos, when you squeeze out fruit, you squeeze grapes, squeeze olives. So applying pressure to extract out the juice, that's a malachas disha as well. So Rabbi Natam says that sometimes when you squeeze a garment, you're extracting something out of the garment. That's not malachas libun. That's malachas dash. So how do you know which malach it is? And there may be important differences. So Rabbi Natam says it really boils down to what kind of a liquid that you're using. Are you using a liquid that's a cleansing kind of a liquid, like water? So water at the end of the day is going to clean the baguette. So that's malachas libun. If one of the beged is filled with other kinds of liquids, like with wine or other things, and I'm squeezing out the beged to get the wine, not to clean the beged, but rather to extract the wine, so Ben Tam says, that's not libun b'chol. That's not tzarchia kibbutz. That's malachas disha. And it works with different rules. And then in disha b'dula karaka, you have whole sugyas about that. So Ben Tam says, don't be fooled by when you see squeezing begadim being problematic, don't jump to conclusions that you know yet which malach it is. You have to be careful. If you're talking about water, then we're talking about kibbutz, we're talking about other liquids, then we're talking about other potential malachas. So lemaisavah, we're not talking about mefarik and dosh right now, we're talking more about libun. So in the realm of libun, squeezing things out is a big problem. So you have to be very, very careful. You shouldn't be any schitas begadim whatsoever. It's because of this potential issa deraisa of schitas begadim, the asher to be seichet begadim is a big problem of libun. If a Chazal made a gezeira or multiple gezeiras, not to be led to schita, either not to find yourself in a situation where you may end up by mistake doing schita. And one of the important things that Chazal made, one of the important gezeiras that's noeg for us is that certain begadim, if they're very wet, you shouldn't really be handling them altogether on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because if they're so wet, just your mere touching them, playing with them, you're inevitably going to be led to be seichet them. And therefore, with the Rabbanon, any beged that's so soaking wet that the minute you touch it, it starts to ooze out anyway, that's also you're not allowed to handle gezeira mishum tzchita. The only possible exception that Chazal made is ein lo ela beged echad. A guy's walking in the rain on Friday night and he gets soaked. So you're going to say, no, he's got to quickly undress and walk around with no clothing on. There's nothing else to wear. He just went away for a Shabbos, but there's nothing else to wear. Sorry, he can't wear his jacket because it's too wet. So the Gemara says, but Shabbos, they gave a little bit of a break. But under normal circumstances, if you have wet garments, so you shouldn't be handling the wet garments. The Mishnah Berurah, in the context of Ochuz Mukta, makes a jump from this gezeirah, and he says, since there's a gezeirah midrabbanan not to handle wet garments, a gezeirah shem yizchait, therefore, a wet garment during ben hashmashos is really off limits. And what you can't use, you can't move during ben hashmashos, now we plug in another rule in Nuchos Shabbos called Migo dis katzala ben hashmashos katzala kula yoyma. It's a Gemara in the end of Shabbos, and the Gemara in the third part of Shabbos about there's a rule in Nuchos Mukta that if something was off limits, something was Mukta when Shabbos began, it remains mukta for the duration of Shabbos, even if the original reason that declared it to be mukta is no longer valid. The classic example is that ne'er shalika b'be Shabbos. Let's say a person lights a candle Friday afternoon. So let's say an old style candle, like a Hanukkah in oil. So I light oil, a candle is burning, and Friday night during ben hashmashos, I want to take some of the oil out. Why? I realize I ran low on salad dressings. I need a little bit of olive oil, so I want to take a spoon and scoop out some of the oil from the burning candle. The Gemara says you can't do that in Shabbos. Why not? What malach is that? Let's go mistapik b'nevi shem and shebiner. And what malach that is? That's kibbutz, because I'm hastening the candle. The candle's going to go out earlier when I either machlekes rishem says in the rush, either the candle's going to go out earlier or the light of the candle itself is going to dim a little bit. Even now, that's a shalom. It's an important shalom. We'll get to the chaba down 6 months from now. We'll start to figure that out. But everyone agrees that you're not allowed to take some of the oil now. So comes the Gemara and says that what would the din be if the candle went out already? It's going to get it blow up by itself. And there's still oil left. Shabbos morning, I want to go and take some of that oil for salad dressing. So then there's no problem of kibbutz anymore. The flame's out. So it's a machlag zetanon. So Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to take it. You're allowed to take the oil because once to take the oil when the candle's burning, even Rav Shimon agrees that's off, stopping Shimon Shinam. But to take the oil after the candle's out, what's wrong with it? And Rav Yehuda says, no, migo diskatzoy ben ashmash diskatzoy l'kula yoyba, that since you couldn't use that oil, was already declared to be off limits when Shabbos began, remains also for the duration of Shabbos as well. And that's the Gemara, very end of the Masechta Shabbos Paskins. At least this part of Muktzah, like Rabbi Yehuda. There's a big machlekes Rabbi Rabbi Shimon throughout Shabbos and Beitzah about Yesh Muktzah, Ein Muktzah, different applications of Muktzah. So we pass get a little bit of a split on this, but the Gemara says vis-a-vis what's called the Muktzah Machas Isser, like this, once it was also to take Benesh Marsh, that's also the duration of Shabbos. So Mishabur makes the Cheshbon, and he says that if I have a wet garment when Shabbos began, if it was wet enough that prevented me from moving it, from touching it when Shabbos started, even if it subsequently dries, it still remains in the state of being Muktzah. So therefore, according to this Mishnah Berurah, you have to be careful that sometimes people, let's say, you know, sometimes people will wash clothing right before Shabbos. They'll grab it out of the wash machine, they'll throw it up to dry before Shabbos. We'll talk about that next week, about why you're allowed to do that or not allowed to do that. And right now, the garment's mom is soaking wet. So I don't need it for now. I don't need the socks now. I'll wear the socks tomorrow morning when they dry by themselves. So according to Mishnah Berurah, that's a problem. Because that's called Migo Diskusai Ben Hashmash Diskusai Lekul Yema. How wet is wet? So the Shmur Shabbos quotes that it has to be so wet that if I'll touch it, it'll be a Tofeh Ben Asafiach. That means I'll get wet and my hands will be so wet that it'll get something else wet. It'll be really, really drenched. Mamish took it right out of the washing machine. That'll be a problem. Sometimes you have, this is a very common shaila, you take a shirt out of something and you hang it out to dry, and when Shabbos starts, it's not drenched. On the other hand, it's still a little bit too moist to wear it right now, so you leave it out, but tomorrow morning it'll be dry entirely. So that would be okay, because technically you could have worn it Friday night also, it wasn't mamish drenched. But something that's mamish soaked through and through would be a problem. So I'll share with you another story, we'll close up for tonight. This goes back to my days in Kerbi Avna. So one, when I was in Kerbi Avna, I don't know if they still do it now, but they used to try to send some of the boys who were not in the army to take on like a little Shabbos rotation. Whenever we were able to visit some of the army bases where some of the Bachim were training, so we tried to, you know, give a little chizik to retire, etc., you know, on Shabbos. So one Shabbos, they asked me if I would go along with some of the other boys to go visit some of my friends, some of the Israeli boys at one of the army bases. So the real reason why they needed me was because it was Parshas Matas Maaseh and they needed a Balkari. That was the real reason. So they slept me along also. And then I remember I got two for the price of one, because as soon as I finished laning, right after Musaf, so all the boys who were on Shmirah that Shabbos, who had missed Davening and Minyan, they asked me would I mind laning over again. I said, no big deal. Matas Maaseh, you know? So Kachab, so Leimat Masi twice for on that base. So I remember we came that Friday afternoon, was right before Shabbos, and one of my friends, he was an American Israeli, he was in the army. So I remember he came up to me and he said he has a problem. His problem is he has one pair of tzitzis, and it is so sweating schwitz through and through from training. He's got to wash it now. It was literally like 20 minutes before Shabbos, so he's going to throw it into the sink or something and hang it out to dry. He said there's no way it's going to be ready to be worn before Shabbos starts. Can you wear it tomorrow morning? So I said, this is the case. This is the case. This is the case of Mishnah Berurah. That whole is katzoy ben hashmash, katzoy kol yama. Violating muktzah, you can't, the mitzvah of tzitzit is not justification for violating muktzah. So I paskin that, no, you can't wear tzitzit. I felt bad afterwards because the paskin write that the din doesn't apply if you have only one garment. That's what the Gemara of the Pharisees, they lifted the gezerah. So here I was wondering, is this called having one garment? I don't have to wear tzitzit. Like, it's not like a guy's, it's not like I don't have a shirt. I only have to wear tzitzis because I want the midas chasidus of wearing tzitzis to put on a four-corner garment, but I don't really technically have to wear tzitzis. So I was wondering, is that called Ein lo ela begerecha? Do you call it Yesh lo begerecha? I don't know, I'm not sure. So I didn't have too many svarim at the time. I told him, I thought maybe you shouldn't, but then I felt chlish adas for the psachi afterwards. I'm not sure what the din would be. But bottom line is, in your own home, when you have 15 other socks to wear, and your socks were drenched when Shabbos started, so based on this gezeir and based on Mishnah Berurah's muktzah, we probably extend this halacha. Okay, hopefully, Metz Shem next week, we'll try to put some final touches and kibbutz, and then maybe we'll see, maybe we'll move on to the next halacha.
I just had a question.